General Nichols' letter of charges and Oppenheimer's response. Reston's story was picked up by newspapers around the country and abroad. Millions of readers were exposed for the first time to intimate details of Oppenheimer's political and private life. The news had an instant polarizing effect. Liberals were aghast that such an eminent man could be attacked in such a manner. Drew Pearson, the liberal syndicated columnist, noted in his diary, "Strauss and the Eisenhower people are certainly getting petty. I can conceive of no move more calculated to bolster McCarthy and to encourage witch-hunting than this throwback to the pre-war years and this attempt to search under the bed of Oppenheimer's past to see whom he was talking to or meeting with in 1939 or 1940. On the other hand, conservative commentators like Walter Winchell had a field day with the story. Just 2 days earlier, Winchell had announced on his Sunday telecast that Senator McCarthy would soon reveal that a key atomic figure had urged that the H-bomb not be built at all. This famous atomic scientist, Winchell claimed, has been an active Communist Party member and the leader of a red cell including other noted atomic scientists. Chairman Gray was furious over Reston's report. Addressing Garrison, he said, "You said you were late yesterday because you had your fingers in the dike." Garrison explained that Reston had known of Oppenheimer's security suspension since mid-January. But Gray brushed this aside and grilled Garrison on when he had given the reporter copies of the AEC letter of charges. Oppenheimer interrupted to say, "These documents were given to Mr. Reston by my counsel Friday night, I believe." This only heightened Gray's anger. "So that you knew when you made the statement here yesterday morning that you were keeping the finger in the dike that these documents were already in the possession of the New York Times?"
"Indeed we did," Oppenheimer replied.
Clearly annoyed with both Oppenheimer and his lawyers, Gray blamed them for the leaks. He never knew that his ire should have been directed at Louis Strauss. The chairman of the AEC had known all along about Reston's phone calls to Oppenheimer, and it was Strauss, not Garrison, who had given the New York Times the green light to publish. Fearing that McCarthy would release the news first, Strauss calculated that it was time for the story to come out, particularly if he could blame the leak on Oppenheimer's lawyers. Eisenhower's press secretary, James C. Hagerty, agreed. So on April 9th, Strauss called the publisher of the New York Times, Arthur Hayes Sulzberger, and released him from their previously arranged agreement to keep a lid on the story. Strauss also feared that there was a danger now of the whole case being tried in the press, and that a lengthy hearing would work to Oppenheimer's advantage. The longer it dragged on, he calculated, the more time Oppenheimer's allies would have to propagandize the scientific community. A quick decision was essential. So later that week, he sent a note to Robb urging him to expedite the hearing.